Welcome to day 303 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, and we are reading from the Amplified Translation this week, and today's reading will take us through the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. So let us begin at Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 1. Also, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God nor respected or considered man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary." And for a time he would not. But later he said to himself, "Though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me or assault me or strangle me." Then the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth?" He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves and were confident that they were righteous, that they were upright and in right standing with God, and scorned and made nothing of all the rest of men. Two men went up into the temple enclosure to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee took his stand ostentatiously and began to pray thus before and with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of men, extortioners, robbers, swindlers, unrighteous in heart and life, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I gain." But the tax collector, merely standing at a distance, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, "O God, be favorable, be gracious, be merciful to me, the especially wicked sinner that I am." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified, forgiven, and made upright and in right standing with God, rather than the other man. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were also bringing even babies to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples noticed it, they reproved them. But Jesus called them, the parents, to him, saying, "Allow the little children to come to me and do not hinder them, for to such as these belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not accept and receive and welcome the kingdom of God like a little child does, shall not in any way enter it at all." And a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, you who are essentially and perfectly morally good, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, to partake of eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me essentially and perfectly morally good? No one is essentially and perfectly morally good except God only. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not witness falsely, honor your father and your mother." And he replied, "All these I've kept from my youth." And when Jesus heard it, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell everything that you have and divide the money among the poor, and you will have rich treasure in heaven. And come back and follow me. become my disciple, join my party, and accompany me. And when he heard this, he became distressed and very sorrowful, for he was rich, exceedingly so. Jesus, observing him, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to enter through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." And Peter said, "See, we have left our own things, home, family, and business, and have followed you." And he said to them, "I say to you truly, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive in return many times more in this world and in the coming age eternal life." Then taking the 12 apostles aside, he said to them, "Listen, we are going up to Jerusalem. And all things that are written about the Son of Man through and by the prophets will be fulfilled. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be made sport of and scoffed and jeered at and insulted and spit upon. They will flog him and kill him. And on the third day he will rise again." But they understood nothing of these things. His words were a mystery and hidden from them. And they did not comprehend what he was telling them. As he came near to Jericho, it occurred that a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he asked what it meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he shouted, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, take pity and have mercy on me." But those who were in front reproved him, telling him to keep quiet. Yet he screamed and shrieked so much more, "Son of David, take pity and have mercy on me." Then Jesus stood still and ordered that he be led to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith, your trust and confidence that spring from your faith in God has healed you." And instantly he received his sight and began to follow Jesus, recognizing, praising, and honoring God. And all the people, when they saw it, praised God. This is the end of today's scripture reading.
Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional.
In today's devotional, I want to focus on the parable that Jesus told about the persistent widow. And it's such an interesting parable and gives us some very clear instructions about persisting in faith through prayer. This parable Jesus told, according to Luke 18:1, told them a parable to the effect that they always ought to pray and not give up. And so he began to tell this story about a widowed woman in a certain city who kept going to a judge. And this judge was a person who didn't fear God. He didn't care about people. He was what one could consider an unjust or corrupt judge. Yet he was the only one in a position of authority that could take care of her situation that needed resolving. So she kept petitioning this judge, bringing that petition before him. And so She would say to him, "Protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary." And it says in verse 4, "For a time he would not. But later he said to himself, 'Though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming.'" So this is an interesting parable that Jesus uses to talk about prayer and persistence in faith. And I think it's critical for us to understand. We talked yesterday about waiting in faith when we've requested something from the Lord. But how do we also persist in faith while we are praying? And that's what I want to share with you very briefly today. Jesus said in verse 6 of Luke 18, "Then the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily.'" And then listen to his next statement. "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth?" And that's a rhetorical question. He's asking it in general. When the Son of Man comes, now he was the Son of Man. He is the Son of Man. And when he came, he was looking to see if there was faith in the earth. But I believe that that reference really has to do with the end of the age or the end times. When the Lord returns a second time, when he comes back, will he find persistence in faith on the earth? When we hear Jesus himself in the Gospels talking about what will happen during the end times, we've heard a little bit of it in our reading so far, and we're about to hear some more. But essentially, it's very clear from Jesus' statements that the pressure that will come on people during the last days, there will be trouble and there will be tribulation, there will be difficulty, people will betray one another to the authorities, people will be killed because of other people's testimony against them, that there's going to be increased pressure, anxiety, trouble, literal tribulation during these end times. And I believe that that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, when the Son of Man comes at the very end of the age, will he find persistence in faith on the earth? Will people continue to believe in God even when circumstances look terribly bad, when things get terribly difficult, when there's intense pressure on their life? Will God find persistence in faith in any person left on the earth during the end times? What about today? We are going through a difficult season economically in the world, and yet the current times are nothing in comparison with what is prophesied about the end of the age, where things will become more and more lawless, where people will become lovers of themselves and haters of people and violent and destructive and murderous and betrayers. It will become increasingly wicked and dark on the earth. And at that point, will God himself, when Jesus returns, be able to find persistence in faith on the earth? Or will people give up? Will people just give up when they see difficulty? Do you give up when you see difficulty now? When you go through a difficult time, do you find yourself quickly going to the place in your mind and in your heart where you say, God doesn't care. What's it worth continuing believing God? Why should I even trust God when things look blacker than ever? If you struggle now, it will be harder for you to maintain your faith and persistence in faith as things get more and more difficult. But Jesus encouraged, exhorted people to trust the Lord and to be persistent in prayer and in faith. He said he told this parable so that he would encourage them to always pray and not give up, not lose heart, not faint when difficulty came, but to continue to pray. And he used this amazing illustration of the unjust judge. He's showing that even a godless person who is corrupt, obviously this man who didn't fear God or anyone else, had no respect for man, wouldn't give a verdict unless he was most likely bribed to do so. And yet in the case of this persistent widow, the man himself, the unjust judge, said, "Though I have neither reverence or fear for God nor respect for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will give her a just verdict, unless she becomes an intolerable annoyance to me and wears me out by her continual coming." So the unjust judge says he will give a right verdict. He will give an answer. He will give her justice because she cried to him day and night, because she persisted, because she continued to pressure him with her requests until he gave it to her. And then Jesus said, listen to that judge. He'll do it even though he's corrupt. He'll do what's right because of the persistence of this widow. And the Lord himself brings out the fact that if an unjust person can do this just because of someone's persistence, how much more will our loving and just God answer those who cry to him day and night? He won't put them off. He won't delay to help them. He will defend and protect and avenge them. So the Lord Jesus is absolutely encouraging persistence in prayer. I believe that God loves persistence in prayer. I believe that he does. But he loves persistence in faith equally as much. Will he find persistence in faith on the earth? The question is asked in Luke 18:8. Will he find persistence in faith? This is what God's looking for. He says, will he find it when he looks for it? If he looked at your life and your prayer life, would he find persistence in faith? When you have a situation that you're dealing with where you need God's intervention and you pray, let me ask you, how do you pray? Do you pray in faith, meaning you believe that God will do what he said in his word? Do you pray persistently, meaning you don't give up on that subject? I believe that the combination of persistence and faith looks something like this. If faith means that a person believes the Word of God, trusts in the Word of God, trusts and relies upon what God has promised, and that's what's in their heart, and they believe that with all of their heart, then when they have a need and they bring it before the Lord in prayer, then it is brought with a confident request that is based on scriptural promise. We can ask the Lord for our needs to be met because the scripture tells us in Philippians chapter 4 that God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we have a scriptural basis for making our request. We can go to the Lord. We can say, Lord, you said in your word. That's giving the basis for what you are about to request. You said in your word you'd supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have a need. You know what that need is. I need the rent to be paid, Lord. I need the money to pay my children's school fees or tuition. Whatever that need is, you can go to the Lord in faith, meaning trusting in the promise that God has already made to you in the Word of God. And that's the basis for your petition. If you go to court and you are making a petition of the court, of the judge, you have to have a basis in the law that gives you the right to make that petition. You want this situation corrected based on the law that says this, that you have the right to that thing. Well, it's the same with going to the Lord in prayer. Go on the basis of his word, and then you have a firm foundation from which to ask your petition, your request. And that's what God encourages. He encourages us to go and ask in faith. Faith is always based on the word. If you don't have a word to base your faith on, then you don't have any faith. We have faith based on God's promises, on what He has said, what He has revealed about Himself to us and about what He promises to His people. So when you go to the Lord making a petition or a prayer, then do so based on the Word of God. If you need healing in your body, then you take the scripture that relates to healing, that says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. You can take that scripture and you can say, Lord, based on your word in Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2:24, I believe it's your will for me to be healed. And you said that by your stripes I was healed. So I'm petitioning you by faith that I might receive what your word says. I take it by faith that it's true and I believe you. So I thank you for healing my body in Jesus' name. That's praying with faith. That's praying based on God's promises. Now, if you're going to add persistence to your faith and to your prayers, as Jesus encouraged us to through this parable of the persistent widow, then you need to retain the faith aspect and not find yourself in a begging position. Because someone who's begging doesn't believe for sure the person's going to answer what they're requesting, but they're hoping just the persistence itself will provide an answer. But God Himself, throughout the Word of God, we are clearly given this understanding that we need to persist in prayer, but we also need to persist in faith, meaning we believe God. So if you pray in a begging way, Lord, please heal me, please heal me, please heal me, I'm asking to heal me, there's persistence there for sure, but you're lacking the faith element. You don't necessarily believe that God's going to do it, or you wouldn't be in that begging position, in a stance of begging instead of a stance of faith. It's important that you persist and be persistent in prayer about whatever it is you're asking of the Lord, but make sure it's joined with faith. So to be persistent in prayer and with faith, you need to say every day, thank you, Lord, that based on 1 Peter 2:24 and Isaiah 53, your word promised me that by your stripes that you bore on your body when you were crucified, that I was healed. So I thank you for my healing. You're continually bringing it before the just judge and thanking Him for doing what you have petitioned, bringing the healing to your physical body. So you're persisting in faith, you're persisting in prayer, you're not begging and therefore adding or allowing to enter an element of distrust or potentially not believing God that it will happen, bringing in the aspect of unbelief or doubt, but instead you're persisting in prayer, persisting in faith, and therefore the just judge will surely answer you according to Jesus's own example here in Luke 18 of that persistent widow. He said, if the unjust judge will do it for him just because of persistence, imagine what the just judge will do. He will not delay in giving the answer. He will avenge. He will take care of the need. That's the message that we receive from this parable of Jesus speaking about the persistent widow. And He told that specific story according to Luke 18:1. In order to teach them that they always ought to pray and not give up, not lose heart. That is critical. So if you have a situation that you've been praying about for a long time, let me give you some counsel from the Word of God about that. Let's just say you have been asking the Lord to provide a certain need that you have, and it's been a long time you haven't seen an answer, and you realize, oh, I have been begging. My prayers haven't been faith-filled. They've been begging God out of desperation and not necessarily confident that He's either hearing or going to answer. So we need to start there. We need to say, God, forgive me for my doubt and unbelief. Start with that. Let's cut off the old and enter the new way of praying so that you can both be persistent and filled with faith when you pray. So if you know you've been begging God, you've been doubtful, maybe you've even said some things, I don't think he's going to answer that. You need to repent for that, because that's allowing doubt and unbelief in the Lord and in his word of promise, and that will absolutely sabotage your ability to receive anything from the Lord. If you're double-minded, James tells us, and you ask, but then you go back and you think he's not going to answer and you talk about it like that, he said the double-minded man doesn't receive anything from the Lord. Don't even expect to receive anything. So this is important to understand. So if you've been asking God for maybe years for a certain thing, but you've talked in a negative way about ever getting the answer, you have allowed unbelief and doubt to flood your heart or get a grip on your mind, or you just have a habit of begging God instead of trusting God when you're praying, then you need to start right there and say, Father, forgive me for praying in doubt, praying with unbelief, for not having confidence in you. I ask you to forgive me for allowing doubt and unbelief to taint my prayers and to influence my mind and to have any place in my heart. I choose this day to cast down doubt and unbelief in my own heart, and I cast it down in Jesus' name. And I choose this day to believe your word that tells me I can persist in prayer. I can ask my just judge and be assured that you will answer. So Father, I come right now, and I repent for my past way of petitioning you with doubt in my heart, and I start afresh. And I take the word that you have promised, and then you take that scripture that you've found that applies to your situation, whether it's just provision, whether it's for healing, whether it's for restoration of a relationship. There's scriptures that cover all those things. And you take that scripture and you say, Lord, you said in your word, then quote his word to him. You know, God likes that. I am so convinced that it pleases the Lord when we remind him of what he said, because he smiles and he sees, I see, they believe my word. They've taken it to heart. So they will receive their answer. God loves to see if we believe what he says. Can you imagine if you're a parent and your child comes to you and says, Dad, I need a new dress for school because we're having a special program and we're all supposed to wear this certain thing. Will you please get me that new dress? And you, as the father or the mother, say, of course, honey, we'll take care of it this weekend. We'll go shopping. We'll get you that dress. But up until the day you even go shopping, the child keeps going, please will you get me a dress? Please will you get me a dress? I really need a dress. And you say, I already promised you a dress. And this child asks you 15 times as if she didn't believe what you said. She didn't believe your promise. It would be hurtful to a parent to see a child act like that, especially if you have been a very faithful parent and every time you've asked, they have asked something of you that was needful, that you know was good for that child, and you said, absolutely, I'll get it, and you followed through, because that's the way God is. He always follows through, and he's always faithful to do it. If you've been like God in that way in your parenting, and yet you have this child who said, please get it, you're not going to get it, are you? I don't think you're going to get it for me. If you had a child like that, it would be hurtful to your heart. You think, what's wrong with this child? They don't believe or trust in me. That would be hurtful. Do you think for our Father in heaven, what it would be like to have all these children on the earth going, he's not going to do it. I know he's not going to do it. He doesn't love me that much. He doesn't care about this. Imagine what that would feel like as the Heavenly Father hearing his kids talking like that about him one to another, or complaining in prayer about not receiving. We need to be careful about how we address the Lord. God is a faithful God. He is a good father. If you never had a good parent in your life or a good father, then don't compare God to that. Don't even liken God to that. It's not like that. God is good. He's faithful. He's true. He's so full of love. He loves to and delights to bless his children. So you can go to Him with the confidence that you have a loving Father. And He doesn't want you to give up. And He delights when He sees you do believe Him. You do trust His Word. That's why He loves people who pray in faith, based upon His own promise of His Word. So that's why I want to encourage you to do that. And Jesus Himself encourages us here in Luke 18:1 that not only should we pray in faith, we should pray with persistence and not give up, to continue. Obviously, He's giving us this example of a widow that had to go repeatedly to this unjust judge to get an answer, to be avenged, to be protected, to be defended, and yet she got her answer. God Himself was not going to do less than some unjust judge. He's going to do far more. So I want to encourage you this week, pray in faith, pray based on the Word of God, and pray persistently with a thankful heart. Persistence in prayer, telling the Lord that you believe Him, that you know He's heard you, that you know He's going to answer, and thanking Him in advance for the answer will certainly get the attention of the Lord, and you will see your answer come. God bless you and give you a victorious week.
If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.